Well, I've enjoyed the service, amen. Enjoyed the preaching on the cross. If you don't enjoy the preaching on the cross, you probably need to go to the cross, amen. And I've enjoyed all the good singing, and I'm glad I'm no stranger to grace, amen. And looking forward to all the good preaching we're going to hear tomorrow as well. And I just appreciate Brother Jacob, appreciate this church, amen. And certainly we need meetings like this, amen, more of in these day and times. And so I'm honored to be here tonight and also humbled. I want to preach a message, I'll be honest with you. You know how it is, you come to a meeting like this, and I reckon every preacher does that. I'm going to be preaching from Galatians chapter number 6 tonight. But, you know, you go through your sermons and you try to, you know, find the Lord's will, and then you also want to try to, I mean, you know, we all have good sermons and bad sermons, you know, let's just be honest about it. And we don't preach the bad ones. I mean, if you preach it at your church, or if you go to some church and preach it and it bombs, I mean, God's going to about have to write your name in the sky to get you to preach it somewhere else. So, and sometimes them good sermons bomb too. You know, they work real good here, and then, you know, they kind of blow out here, and then they blow up over here. So, you know, but I was sitting there, and I'll be honest with you, I just want to always preach what's on my heart. Amen. And I didn't know what I was going to preach, but looking through a few things. But I was sitting over a while ago, and just these two verses came to my mind. And I thought, well, Lord, I just wrote some things down. And so it's either going to be real good or real bad, but it's going to be real. I promise you that. But it's what's on my heart. And then they sang that last song, and it just kind of confirmed it. So I just want to be obedient to God. We know tonight if the Lord don't help us, there's no preaching anyway. Amen. We can't do anything without Him. And so I just want to preach a few minutes tonight, just a short message that's on my heart, Galatians chapter 6. If you're able to stand with us, and verse number 17. The Bible said, "From henceforth let no man trouble me. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen." Father, I do pray tonight that you would help us these next few moments. I want to be obedient to you and to your will. I don't want to say anything that would grieve the Holy Spirit or do anything that would call attention to myself in any way. God, I pray tonight that you'd be pleased with our worship. I pray tonight, dear Lord, that you would be glorified, your Son would be magnified, and the church would be edified tonight. I ask, Lord, that we would receive with meekness the engrafted word, and God, that you would open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things in thy law. I pray, God, you'd set a watch before my lips tonight, and may we see no man save Jesus only, and we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I'll be honest with you tonight. I just had this one phrase, this one thought, that was on my heart tonight. In verse number 17, the Bible says here, Paul said, "For I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." And I want us to think a few minutes tonight about the marks of a man of God. The marks of a man of God. Paul said that I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Now, there was no question tonight, when we think about the Apostle Paul, there's no question tonight that Paul was a man of God. Amen. And you know, when you get around a real man of God, he doesn't have to make that announcement. Paul doesn't make that announcement. Amen. A real man of God doesn't have to convince you that he's a man of God. You'll know if you've ever been around a man of God. Somebody said, well, preachers are a dime a dozen. I would agree with that tonight. They really are. But real men of God are few and far between. Amen. And I thank God for his men. And one of the things that we note about Paul here as a man of God is these marks. And the marks of a man of God, when I think about the marks in this text tonight, I would say first of all that these are multiple marks. Amen. Paul makes it very clear that there's more than one. Amen. The marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you, when God marks a man as his man, it'll be more than one thing that'll mark him. Amen. There'll be multiple marks in his life that will let you know that he is a man of God. And these are multiple marks tonight. And then I would say they were manifested marks. These marks could be seen in the life of the Apostle Paul. And real men of God, you can look at them and you can see that, as I mentioned, they don't have to to make an announcement. They don't have to tell you they're a man of God, but a real man of God, those things that God marks in his life, they'll be revealed. Others will be able to observe it, and they'll be able to witness it. Amen. And so tonight, these are manifested marks, and then they're ministry marks. What Paul is talking about, the marks here, we know that they're physical, but the reason that Paul had these marks in his life was because Paul was in the ministry. Amen. I mean, if Paul went the old life and done the old things, he might have been scarred by sin, but he had never been marked by God. Amen. I'm telling you, if you live for God and if you serve God in the ministry, you're going to bear some marks. Amen. Listen, there's going to be some things that's going to happen that's going to mark me and you along this way, and they are ministry marks. Amen. Every preacher knows what I'm talking about. There's things in your life that has been marked by the ministry. The ministry is a wonderful thing, and thank God for the ministry. But we all got our marks tonight, don't we? And these are ministry marks, and these are manifested marks. These are multiple marks tonight. And then I would say tonight that these are missionary marks. Amen. Because Paul was a missionary, and Paul bore in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was because he had preached the gospel. It's because he had been faithful as a man of God and as a missionary. And I thank God for missionaries tonight, don't you? Missionaries are men of God. They're not second-rate preachers. Amen. I tell you, I got more respect tonight, or should I say as much respect tonight, for real God-called missionaries that will sacrifice and give up more than most of us will ever think about or know about, and tell their family and their friends and their familiarities of life goodbye for the sake of the gospel, and to go give the gospel to those that have never heard it. I thank God for them, and we should mark them tonight. The marks of a man of God. And then these are meaningful marks. These marks that are on the body and the life of the Apostle Paul, they have a message in and of themselves. And men of God cannot go through life and serve God and not bear marks. These marks send a message. You could look at Paul's life if we were living in that day. And for every mark that was on Paul's body, it spoke a sermon in and of itself. The marks meant something. And we think about this verse tonight. We see the bearing of these marks. Look what he said in verse 17. He said, "For I bear." Paul was willing to bear the marks. Amen. I'm telling you, as men of God, we've got to be willing. Listen, we need God's help. We need God's touch. But can I tell you, in serving God, there's got to be some endurance. Amen. There's got to be some perseverance. There's got to be some raw determination. I'm going to tell you, serving God, there's a part that only God can do, but there's a part we must be willing to do. And let's be honest, many have taken the easy route. Many have went to easy street because they weren't willing to bear the reproach. They weren't willing to bear the marks. But Paul, here I see the bearing of the marks. If you're a pastor tonight, you know what it is to bear these marks. If you're an evangelist tonight, you know what it is. I had a young preacher come to me. It's probably been 3 or 4 years ago. And he said, I feel like God is leading me to pastor. He said, I want to pastor, but he said, there's just one problem with that. I said, what is it? He said, knowing my personality and my makeup, he said, I don't like confrontation. I said, brother, you need to get you a job is what you need to do. I don't care if you pastor the best church in the world. You better buckle up, buttercup, amen, because confrontation will find you. Isn't that right? It's just part of it, amen. When you're a pastor, some days you're a pastor, some days you're a referee, amen. And listen, everybody you pastor is different. Some people that join your church need a shepherd, and others need a drill sergeant. And you just got to figure out which one needs what. And some days you're going to be one, some days
days you're going to be other, and some days you're going to be both. Amen. But you just got to bear it. You just got to go on. Listen, it doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter what people do. It's a part of the ministry. You can't make people serve God. You can't make people do right. You can't make people live for God. You just got to bear some marks in this life. And sometimes you just got to be willing. It just comes with the territory, doesn't it? Everybody's not going to like you. Everybody's not going to say good things about you. Nobody leaves the church and praises the pastor. Can I get an amen? I'll even take it a step further. Nobody's going to leave your church and tell the truth. Can we just be honest? I mean, some people move off because of a job. Some people move off because of ministry. Some people leave because of sin. And when they leave because of sin, they're never going to tell the truth. Nobody leaves and says, well, I just couldn't take it down there. He tightened down the hatches and preached on sin. And I got under conviction so bad I had to get out of there and just go somewhere else where it was a little bit easier. No, they're not going to tell that. They're going to blame you. Or they're going to blame your wife. Or they're going to blame your children. Are they going to blame the whole outfit? Amen. But they're never going to tell the whole truth. You say, what I do about that, preacher? You can't do nothing about it. You just got to bear it. Amen. Don't get bitter. Just bear the marks. I see the bearing of these marks, and I see the body of these marks. Paul said, I bear in my body. That means that what Paul was bearing was physical. We could talk about the spiritual side of things, but Paul was bearing physically the marks. The ministry had marked Paul's life physically. And I would say to every preacher, and I think you would agree with this tonight, that whenever you are serving God and you're in the ministry, listen, it's going to affect your life physically. There's going to be stress, anxiety. Preachers deal with it more than anything. I mean, we can't smoke pot. We can't drink alcohol. Come on now, let's just get real. I mean, it would probably... I wouldn't say that, preacher. Well, if you pastored long enough, you might think about it. I know it's sin tonight, but I'm telling you, and I've never... let me not lie in a pulpit, amen. There have been some days I don't believe in smoking pot, but I tell you, a joint sure could take care of your nerves sometimes, amen. You say, well, I just go pray. That's what I do. But I'm telling you, friend, if you're not a pastor or a preacher's wife, you have absolutely no idea what it is in the best of our churches to be under the physical load and the burden that you carry and the responsibility that there is in the ministry. Amen. Affects your body. It affects your mind. It affects your emotions. It affects you physically. It affects your heart. It affects your lungs. I'm telling you, it affects everything. You know, coming to this meeting tonight, I don't have to bear the burden, the weight of this meeting. I can come in and sit down and do whatever the pastor tells me to do or doesn't tell me to do. But the financial burden's not on me tonight. The spiritual burden is not on us tonight. But you men of God understands what that's like. You can listen, take a vacation. You can get some relaxation. But you've got to go back. But you're constantly aware. You're constantly under that. What is that? You're bearing it in your body. Amen. That ought to make every member appreciate their pastor and their preacher's wife. You don't understand if you've never walked in them shoes, the psychological warfare that both of them has to deal with. A little saying or something that can be said. Most people will go home and pillow their head. They can make a statement toward that man of God or his wife and go home and pillow their head and get a good night's rest, never thinking twice about what they said or what they may have done, while that man of God or his wife lays in the bed at night and wonders. You say, why don't they just go to sleep? Well, there's a couple reasons. Number one, because they love you and they pray for you and they're concerned about you. And number two, because the devil, if he can keep him awake and keep them up at night, he's going to do that as well. And there's a physical load that comes in serving God. And I'll be honest with you, can I say this? You don't like it when preachers tell me, can I say this? Because I don't know what they're going to say. And I just did that. But
Let me say this, okay? Lace a lot of young preachers today. I don't know what they're looking for, and I don't know if they're going to make it. And there's some good young preachers. But some of them, all they think the ministry is a flashy suit, their face on some poster, getting in some meeting somewheres. Well, I'm telling you, the ministry's work. I mean, this isn't work tonight. Amen. Ministry, you men of God know ministry. Hey, it starts early in the morning and it goes all day long. I was with a young man, it's been a few months back, was in a meeting on one day, and I left it that day and went back to the church there. And me and a young boy, we were standing outside. This was back a summer or so ago. And we were standing outside and we was digging holes alongside the fellowship hall. And we was planting trees. And then the next day, I remember going to church, and I hate to give this illustration. It's a little bit crude, but it's just honest. Somebody had stopped the toilet up. And I went in the restroom there, and the toilet was stopped up. And I thought, my first reaction was, go get somebody. Y'all know? And don't y'all look so spiritual? Nobody wants to unclog a toilet. Let's just be honest. And I thought, I thought, no, that wouldn't look good for me to go tell somebody, hey, this toilet's clogged up here. And I thought I can, and I went and got that plunger. And I was plunging that toilet. And I thought to myself, 25 years in the ministry, and this is where it's got me. Digging a hole one day, and I'm plunging a toilet the next. Now, y'all just be real. Hey, that's ministry. I'm telling you tonight, listen, when it comes to ministry, there's some things you're going to have to bear. Amen? You say, well, I wouldn't tell that. Well, maybe you wouldn't, but I'm just telling you, friend, when you're in the ministry, you get to be a jack of all trades. Amen? You get to be involved in every aspect of it, or you're not going to do any serving God if you don't know what it is to bear every bit of the load of the ministry. Amen? That's right. I see tonight the bearing, the body. And then I noticed the belonging of these marks. Look what he said. He said, I bear in my body, this is interesting, the marks not of the Apostle Paul, but of the Lord Jesus. Paul, why would you do that? Why would you go through that? Why would you let them treat you that way? Why would you experience these things? Paul, you didn't have to have all these things. You didn't have to choose this route. You could have went another way. Why would you let people treat you like that? Paul said, I'll tell you why. For every mark they put on me, that wasn't my mark. That was his mark. Amen. I'm telling you, when Paul bore those marks, he knew one thing. If he didn't know anything else, he knew that God counted every single one of them, and he knew they counted in eternity's sake, and he knew them was not the marks of Paul. Those was the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Paul could bear those marks because he wasn't doing it for Paul, and he wasn't doing it for others. He was doing it for the Lord Jesus. Amen. And it sure makes a difference when you're serving God in the ministry, when you're not doing it for yourself and you're not doing it for others, but you're doing it for Jesus Christ. Amen. Say, preacher, has anybody ever put a mark on you? Yes. But I'm not preaching for others. I read a few years ago, a man made this statement. He said, when I started preaching, he said, I preached everything I heard. He said, and then I realized that wasn't a good idea. So he said, I started preaching everything I read. He said, and that wasn't a real good idea. He said, now that I'm older, I just preach what I know. He said, when I started out preaching, he said, I preached to be heard. He said, I wanted people to understand that I was sincere and that my ministry was legitimate and that I was, I was just trying as a young preacher, he said, to just make my way, just to make my mark and to just get people to understand that I'm sincere in serving God. He said, and then as I got just a little bit older, he said, I quit preaching to be heard. And he said, I started preaching to help people.
people and the church where I pastored, he said, I love those people. And I started preaching not to be heard. He said, but I preached because I wanted to help them. I thought, well, that's pretty good. And then he made this statement. He said, both of them were wrong. And he said, now that I'm older, he said, I preach for one reason, and that's to glorify God. He said, and I found out, Brother Joe, that every time I preach to glorify God, I'm always heard, and people are always helped. Because it's not about me and it's not about them. It's all about Him. Amen. So you can bear some things in life when you know that them people, they may mark you. Ministry may mark you. Things may mark you in this life. But we can bear it when we realize and it's really not about us anyway. It never was about us. These things that we experience in the ministry, they're not because of us. They're not about us. They're not our marks. They're His. His marks tonight, the belonging of these marks. And then I noticed the brethren in these marks. Isn't it amazing that when you get to verse number 18, that after all these marks, Paul still has interest in the brethren? Because it was some of the brethren that had marked Paul. Those Pharisees. Paul used to be a Pharisee. The Sadducees, the religious crowd, they were the most vicious crowd. They were the ones that crucified Jesus. I know Pilate crucified Him and the Romans crucified Him, but it was that religious crowd that set Jesus up. It is that religious crowd sometimes that can put the deepest marks on us. And it's not the world most of the time, but sometimes the most painful marks doesn't come from without, but they come from within. And Paul had experienced that in his ministry, and Paul knew what that was. But after all of these marks, isn't it amazing that Paul is not bitter, amen. I mean, I notice in this text here that Paul has still got the best interest of the brethren in mind. He's still concerned about the brethren. He didn't let the ministry or the marks cause him to get bitter. He didn't isolate himself. He didn't shut others off. But Paul still wanted to help others along the way. In fact, these marks had great influence, and Paul used them for the glory of God and for the influence of the gospel and for the church. Because of these marks that he bore in his body, he was able to help others along the way. Amen. See, Paul wasn't the only one that had marks. But others could look at Paul, and those marks gave them courage that if Paul can go on, then I can go on. You ever thought about maybe the reason God allows us to be marked? It's not really anything to do with us, but it's because somebody else down the road needs to see those marks. They need to see us go through things so that it'll help them along the journey. You say, but preacher, I could have made it without these marks. Maybe you could have, but God might know that somebody else won't be able to make it. And they may not be strong enough to bear it, but you're strong enough to bear it. So God puts a mark on His man so that others can see it, to find the courage to just go on. And after all of this, Paul is not interested in those marks. He's not emphasizing. He said, they don't belong to me. But through it all, Paul has still got his mind on Jesus in verse 17 and the brethren in verse 18. You know, I don't ever want to get to the place where I don't care about my brothers. I've watched preachers and what down through these years, not as old as some, but I've watched friends I've had in the ministry and others. I've watched them. They let them marks make them bitter. I've watched them divide. And I'm not for ecumenicalism, and I'm not for dropping standards, and I'm not for dropping convictions, and I'm not for holding hands with anything and everything that comes down the pipe. I think you know that tonight. But I'm also for not seeing how many friends I can lose in the ministry. You see, tonight I don't have to agree with everybody.
And I don't have to associate with everybody. But I don't have to attack everybody. I think tonight, the further we get and the closer we get to Jesus coming, the more we're going to need each other. You know, that's not a compromising statement tonight. I'm not changing my Bible. I'm not changing our music. I don't want anything to do with contemporary music. I'm not going ESV tonight. I'm still King James to the core, from the top of my head to the sole of my foot. I'm not a Calvinist tonight. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. I still believe in old time separation. Amen. Not just on Sunday, amen, but I'm talking about every single day of the week, amen. I don't think your dress code ought to change on Sunday. Can we get an amen? I think we ought to live holy and separated, amen. I think our churches ought to be right and they ought to be tight. Can I get a witness right there? I told our church we're not having a platform standard. I'm not against people who do. If you don't have no standards, you got to start somewhere, so start with a platform, amen. But I told our church to start with a platform. If we got a platform standard, that's compromise here, amen. Listen, we got a church standard, amen. Sinners can come any way they want to because we're interested in their soul. We're not interested in trying to clean the outside up. But when it comes to joining a church, amen, when summertime rolls around, I don't believe in peeling your clothes off and showing your flesh. Can I get an amen right there? I believe if you see me at Walmart, I ought to look decent. I ought to look modest. If you see my wife at Walmart, she's going to look the same at Walmart like she does singing in the choir on Sunday. Can I get an amen right there? I believe that, amen, before I went to that church, and I'll believe it when I'm gone. What I'm saying tonight is I'm not for compromise. Hey, listen, I'm not for going to the movies. Somebody say amen. I'm against playing the lottery. Somebody say amen. Listen, I'm against reading romance novels. Somebody say amen. I'm against just about anything you want to label, amen. Are y'all still with me? I mean, just shell it out, tighten her down, preach against anything you want to. It's in this book. When you can preach on holiness, we need more of it. Amen. I make an announcement every spring. Don't peel your clothes off. Neck to the bottom of the knee and even to the ankle if you can. Can I get an amen right there? Still believe every bit of that. But having said all that, I need the brethren tonight. I need them. And Paul was concerned about the brethren. I don't want to say or do anything that hurts a brother tonight. I don't want to go to a church and hurt a pastor. If I can't help them, then I don't want to hurt them tonight. And tonight, these marks, I see the brethren and these marks, I think they meant something when they saw Paul. I think these marks, you know, I've never seen Paul. But Paul's marks, I've never seen them. When I read these verses, they mean something tonight. The marks. And then there's the blessing of these marks. Look what Paul said in verse 18. Brethren, look what he said. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Paul knew a lot about grace. But I think he knew more about grace after these marks got on him. And I think the more marks you put on Paul, the more grace Paul experienced. And the more marks they put on, the more he talked about. Paul lit the lamp of the grace of God, the gospel, to the Gentiles. I'm telling you that, man. The more marks they put on him, the deeper grace got in his life. These marks didn't make him bitter. These marks made him gracious. I tell you what marks will do. It'll humble a man. It'll bring a man into reality. It'll change a man's focus. I'm telling you, when you come to this text tonight, Paul is still focused on the gospel. Amen. And the reason he's still focused on the gospel is because he's still finding grace. Amen. And he's full of glory. He closes this book out with one final word, and it's a word, amen. I'm telling you, after all the marks, Paul is still full of grace, and Paul is still finding glory. He hadn't lost his amen just because he got marks. Paul, if he is sitting here tonight, he might be marked from head to toe, but he'd still say amen to the singing. He'd still say amen to the preaching. He still had some amen in him. Hallelujah. You know why? Because the blessing of marks is that it puts grace. Tonight, you know, when we start out as a young preacher, we don't have a lot of grace in us. I think that's okay, don't you? Man, I see young preachers that can't hardly find many like this anymore. But you know how it was starting out. Brother Joe, young preachers was against everything. Man, I let them get up. Now, I mean, I don't care what they preached against. I tell our people, now, don't you go up to them afterwards and knock that. Let them be against some things. Amen. Yeah. You say, well, they ain't all scriptural. It ain't going to hurt them to be against some things. Amen. I'd rather be them against a few things that ain't even scriptural. They'll balance out later on. Amen. If not, we'll jerk a knot in their tail. Amen. When they get a little bit older. But let them learn to stand against something. Amen. We got a lot of lily-livered preachers nowadays. Limp-wristed young preachers that wouldn't stand against nothing. They wouldn't call rattlesnake if one was wrapped around your neck. I thank God, amen, for old-time preaching, don't you? I'm telling you, let them learn to stand against some things that God will put some grace in them now. Down the road. Amen. Y'all remember when everything was wrong? Amen. I'm not on Mars tonight, am I? Y'all remember that? I mean, when we went to church, and I mean, we thought we knew more than everybody did. And if the preacher showed any compassion, we thought he was compromising. We'll start praying for him. Amen. We'd spot something in a heartbeat. You say, it's not right. I know it ain't right, but God will put you in the ministry and humble you. He knows how to mark you, amen. But with every mark, He works a little bit of grace in our life. You may not even be a preacher tonight, but He's put some marks there. And with those marks, He's put grace. You know, I don't want to go through life and get to the end of life and be hard. I don't want to compromise. But I don't want to be hard. Then I noticed the benefit of these marks. Look at verse 18. I think this is the greatest benefit of these marks. Because Paul in verse 18 talks about grace. He talks about Jesus Christ. But look what he said. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your what? Spirit. You know, a young man, he's all about his body, isn't he? His strength, his fit. You look at a young man. I mean, he might weigh 90 pounds soaking wet. You ask him to pick up a box. Listen, he'll go over and pick it up just to show you how strong he is, won't he? Older I get, the more I use that. I'm like, hey, fella, come here and show me your muscles. Amen. I mean, they look like BBs. Amen. But he'll pick them up and he'll flex them as tight as he can. And he'll walk down through there. You know why? Because a young man's all about his strength. Run, jump, never get tired. Strong. A middle-aged man, he's more about his mind. He's learned how to work smarter, not harder. Let that young guy break his back. He's not been far enough down the road like them gray hairs have, but he's been far enough down the road to where he can look back and now he can see things that he couldn't see when he was younger. His mind is a little sharper than it was in his youth, and it's not as dull as it'll be when he gets older. And he's about that mind. But that older saint, Paul, the aged, he's all about that spirit. The closer we get to the end, the more we'll come about the Spirit. Because men, I read one author made this statement. He said, as men grow nearer, they grow ready. And Paul's coming to the end of life's journey. Paul's interested in one thing. You know, if you could get a young man interested in his spirit more than he is his strength, God could do something great. In verse 17, what God put on Paul in verse 17 was on the outward. It was in his body. But also what God put outward in verse 18, it's inward. Paul's talking to us about the Spirit. See, the great benefit of these marks is not what you see on the outside. It's what God used those marks to do on the inside of Paul. He said, I want to leave something with you. And the last thing I want to leave with you, I want to leave grace with you. And not just anybody's grace. I want to leave the grace of our Lord Jesus. And he said, I want to leave it with your spirit. I'm going to tell you, the spirit of a man is what tells you what kind of man he is. A man might can preach, a man might can sing, a man might can do a lot of things. But I tell you what you do, you look beyond his ability and you look beyond anything else. You study his spirit. Because his spirit will tell you who he really is. You see, God's interested in the spirit tonight. And when I think about this text and I think about these marks tonight, Paul emphasizes the spirit. God does a work. He lets things on the outside mark us so that he could work on the inside. How is your spirit tonight? What kind of spirit do you have? So Brother Gravity, I've been going through things in my life. I understand that, but how's it affecting you inwardly? No, I'm talking about the outwards. What's it doing to the inside of you tonight? When you think about Paul, he was scarred in his body, but he was strengthened in his spirit. Paul had an identity on the outside that you can see, but he had an identity on the inside that can be seen. There was an influence that came from within, and it inspired others to go on. And we've seen that in the lives of other men of God. But I'm going to tell you something. It didn't come easy. God marked his man. You can't serve God and not have marks. You know, you can't go through things. You can't live for God and not go through things in life tonight. I wonder tonight as we stand, as they get us a song ready, the marks of a man of God. I really believe the Holy Spirit wants me to just say that tonight. I don't know where you're at. Don't know if you even need to come to this altar. And you don't have to come tonight. But if you feel the need to come, then you ought to come to this altar. And it doesn't matter if it's one person or ten or who. I don't want you to come if you don't feel led of the Holy Spirit. But tonight, they'll play something for us. You just obey God. Do whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do. But God's interested in our spirit. What kind of person we are. It comes from within. And our brother, what are we going to sing today? 375 while he sings. If you need to come, you obey God tonight.